Please open your Bibles to the book of Psalms. We're going to be looking at several of the Psalms this evening in our lesson. As was stated, we are glad for everyone who is here, everyone who is viewing. We're grateful for all who have put a priority on serving God, especially on the first day of the week. The Lord wants us to worship Him, and therefore that's exactly what we do, to demonstrate our love and our respect for Him. For the visitors that we have, we're grateful that you're here and hope that every time you have an opportunity, you'll come and worship the Lord with us. In our study this morning, in our Bible class, we looked at the beginning really of a tremendous history of David. David was a man that was selected by God purposely, and he is the one through whom the Messiah comes. He is the one through whom the king comes, who is king right now. He really was a template. He was a type. He was a foreshadowing of the type of character that Jesus Christ has. This man, of course, is David. When Samuel went to anoint a king, he didn't know who he was to anoint. He was looking at the sons of Jesse. And he started at the oldest, thinking that perhaps he was the one who was to be anointed. But God made a very important observation to Samuel and recorded for all of us that God doesn't look at man the same way sometimes that we look at man. He looks at a man's heart. And particularly, he looked at David's heart. Even before Samuel went to Jesse's house, he knew the son of Jesse, David. He knew what type of character that he had. Apparently, and how is it that we get to know people? Well, I think it's by communication. I think it's by hearing them speak to us. I think it's by watching their lives. David is a man after God's own heart, and he demonstrated that by his communication with God. And really, one of the treasures I think we have in the Bible are the Psalms. Because in the Psalms, we find David really articulating his heart to God. And I know that some of us, and I speak particularly of the male persuasion, may have difficulty sometimes with that expression. Sometimes we tend to be aloof, distant, disconnected emotionally. Sometimes we have a hard time really telling it what it is that's going on inside of our heads. Martha and I on occasion will sit down and, you know, I'll say, well, we'll just talk about how we feel. Well, okay, I'm done. Now, it's not as if there's nothing there. It's just getting it out in a way that makes any sense. Well, David does that in the Psalms, I think, in his relationship with God. And so as we look at the Psalms, as we read through them, I think we can see not just, you know, what David was able to do, but perhaps a reflection of what we can do. And even something that we can use the words of David in the Psalms to express our own thoughts and our desires and our feelings unto God. So, we're going to be looking at these Psalms so that we can see prayer in the life of David, and more specifically, so that we can see our own prayer life and see how we can enhance that, how we can become better at that. So, we're going to look at four areas of prayer. Prayers, like any communication, contain a lot of different elements. So we're going to look at four of those elements of prayer this evening. The first is praise. One of the things that we do when we pray unto God is to praise Him. Even Jesus, when He gave the disciples the model prayer, He begins with, "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be," or "sanctified is," or "holy is your name." He starts with praise. And that's a wonderful way for us to start our prayers. Let's look at a couple of the Psalms of David, prayers of David, communication of David toward God, and learn from that. See what he says and see what we can say as well. The 19th Psalm, beginning with verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor knowledge where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all of the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. And then he ends this psalm by saying, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. He really breaks down a little bit of the greatness of God. He doesn't simply say, God, you are great. God, you are wonderful. God, you are powerful. But he breaks down what the manifestation of that power is, the creation of God. As he looks around at all of what God has created, he sees that speaking to him and magnifying God for his greatness. When he looks at the law, when he looks at the word of God, when he looks at the statutes, the judgments of God, what he sees in that is purity and justice and goodness. And he expresses that to God. You know, one of the things we do when we are praying and we are praising God for what he is and who he is and what he has done, we're not telling God something that he doesn't already know. I mean, God knows about his creation. He knows about his law. He knows about his word. But what we're doing is acknowledging that. What we're doing is not just recognizing it, but we are esteeming him for it. You know, it's sort of like a husband and wife relationship. A lot of times the husband tells the wife, you're wonderful. You make the best meals. You prepare to receive guests. You are conscientious about the way that you handle our finances. You are a wonderful woman, the way that you interact with our children. You tell her these things, or you tell him those things, and you're not giving them information. It's not that they don't know that. You're trying to tell them something they don't know, but you're acknowledging that and acknowledging what they're doing and showing appreciation for what they're doing, praising them for what they are doing is going to add to the bond that exists there. The same is true with our relationship with our God. The Psalm 63, starting with verse 1. Another example, and there are many examples in the Psalms of David praising God in sections or in whole Psalms. We're going to look at this Psalm 63. Notice the intensity of the desire that David has to know his God. O God, you are my God. Early I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, the shadow of your wings, in you, the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower part of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him shall glory. But the mouth of those who speaks lies shall be stopped. Daniel has this intense desire to know God, to praise God. And in that intense desire is a looking in his life for the presence of God, for the guidance of God, for the deliverance of God, and then the acknowledgement of that in his life, praising God. That needs to be a part of our prayer life. You know, I think the next thing we're going to look at is petitions, that is, telling God what we need. We're not going to spend as much time on that, because we're good at that. The praise part is something that we can work on, and perhaps something that we can let David in his words help us with. But prayer life is also talking to God about what we need, making requests unto God about things in our lives that we need his help with. And you know, it's really an admission of dependence, is it not, for us to ask God for something. It's an admission that we are not able to fulfill everything, that we're not able to do everything for ourselves, that we are trusting him. It makes us vulnerable to say to God, I need you. I have this need, I have this desire that I'm placing before you. But isn't it wonderful to know? You know, sometimes you might go to someone and ask them for a favor, and they might laugh at you. They might mock you. What are you asking me for? What do you think? Why am I going to help you? What am I going to do? What, can't you do that for yourself? To know that God will never laugh at us. God will never mock us. God wants to hear what our requests are because we are his children and he is our God. Let's look at the 143rd Psalm as one example of this. And as I said, there are many psalms where David asks for things. We'll just look at this one, the 143rd Psalm. He says, beginning with verse 1, hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to my supplications. In your faithfulness, answer me. And in your righteousness. Do not enter into judgment with your servant, for in your sight no one living is righteous. For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in darkness like those who have long been dead. Therefore my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is distressed. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your works. I muse on the work of your hands. I spread out my hands to you. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land. He hasn't asked for anything yet. Did you notice that? He's setting it up. But he's setting it up by announcing his dependence. He's setting it up by announcing his need for God. He's not asking God as a partner, as someone who, you help me, I'll help you, and we can both get through this together. He's recognizing his dependence, and he is acknowledging that dependence before his God. So he says, we continue in verse 7. Answer me speedily, O Lord, my spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, lest I be like those who go down to the pit. Cause me, here's where he's really beginning to ask for specific things. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you I do trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. Deliver, O Lord. This is really what he was beginning about. He has some enemies that he needs some help with. So he asked, deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. In you I take shelter. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake. For your righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. In your mercy, cut off my enemies and destroy all of those who afflict my soul. For I am your servant. Just a couple of observations on that. I think the ending is significant. He ends by saying, I'm your servant. I'm here to do your will. He is acknowledging the greatness of God, not his own, and his willingness to submit to the will of God. And also, as he's making this request for help with his enemies, it's not just, please get rid of all of my enemies. Like a child sometimes might come to you and say, you know, give me this, give me that, give me this other, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. That's one thing. It's another thing for the child to say, help me to know why I need your answer. Whatever your answer is, this is what I need, but please help me to understand what path you want me to take. Please help me to understand why I need this or I don't need. That's what David is asking for here. Teach me your ways. Guide me. Help me see what path I am to go. Not just to grant me my wish, but help me to grow so that I might understand the ways that I should live my life and the way that I should go. He also has a great deal of thanksgiving, which is very close to praise. But thanksgiving, specifically in times when he was in trouble and God did answer, when he made a request and God did fulfill that. He didn't forget to say thank you. And in particular, we're going to go to one psalm here, Psalm 18, where Saul has been chasing him around the countryside, which happened quite a bit. And David was in prayer oftentimes to be delivered from Saul, who was trying to kill him. And God did deliver him. Well, not only did he pray, please keep me from the hand of Saul, but he also, when he was delivered, he also said, thank you. We'll begin in verse 1. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength in whom I will trust. My shield in the horn of my salvation. My stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The pangs of death encompassed me, and floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me, the snares of death confronted me. In distress, I called upon the Lord. I cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled, and the foundations of the hills also quaked and were shaken. Because he was angry, smoke went up from his nostrils, and devouring fire from his mouth. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heaven also and came down with darkness under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and flew. He flew upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His canopy around him was dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. From the brightness before him and thick clouds passed with hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. He sent out his arrows and scattered the foe, lightning in abundance, and he vanquished them. Then the channels of water were seen, and the fountains of the world were uncovered. At your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils, he sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they are too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of calamity, but the Lord was my support. He also brought me into the broad place. He delivered me. Because he delighted in me. I can't talk like that. I mean, that is just amazing figurative language to describe the awesomeness of God as God hears from His holy temple and responds to His cry for help. God answered him. But the point is, the bottom line is, he just said thank you. Again, sometimes we have children who make requests of us, and we answer those requests in the best way we can according to our wisdom. How wonderful it is when they just turn around and say, thank you. Thank you for responding. Thank you for giving me, according to your wisdom, what I needed. It is so wonderful to hear a child have the maturity to say thank you. And how wonderful it must be in the ears of God to just have His children say, thank you for what you have done. Let's look at the 138th Psalm. Psalms 138. We'll start reading here in verse 1 as well. I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. In the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. Yes, they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord is on high, yet he regards the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands. David was a work of his hand. Don't forsake me, I think he's saying. Don't forsake the work of your hands. He looks to the back. He looks to the past, verse 3. In the day when I cried out, you answered me. He looks to the future in verse 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. He has trust in God. He has confidence in God, that God has been there, that God will be there. God is not asking us to repay Him for all of His loving kindness. We cannot repay Him for all that He has done for us, all of the gifts, all of the blessings that He has given upon us. But what He does want from us is for us to just say thank you when He answers our prayers. We ask a lot from God. We have our news and notes, and we go through those news and notes with prayer requests of people who are suffering physically, or maybe suffering because of a loss of a loved one, or suffering because of some other need that is there. We make those requests and lovingly do so because we love our brothers and sisters. We love those who are in need, and we bring those petitions before our God. It is a good practice for us to do that. And it is also a good practice to look and see what the results are. Look and see when God has said yes, when God has said no, when God has said, wait a while, when God has said, I have another way. In all the times that we pray, He answers according to His will, and we can be thankful for what God has done for us. The last category of prayers I would like to focus on, and that is prayers of confession. You know, David was an individual, like, unfortunately, us, who made mistakes in his life. And those mistakes were not covered up by David. They were acknowledged. You know, we have a difficult time, I think, when we are involved with sin, to deny that sin, to try to hide that sin, to try to push it to the side so that no one sees that sin. But the fact is, God knows, God sees. And it's really most healthy for us and most helpful for us to just bring it out in the open and just lay it before God. be honest and sincere with God. He's not looking for beauty in our prayers. David's prayers are very beautiful. Our prayers may not be, my prayers are not as beautiful. But what he does want is just for us to be honest and open and sincere, particularly when it comes to the times that we fail him. And we want him to know of our failures. The 32nd Psalm, David approaches God and acknowledges his wrong. Actually, the first thing that he does is say, thank you for forgiveness. But then he talks about the guilt that he felt. He says in verse 1, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. It might sound familiar to you. That's quoted in the book of Romans, the 4th chapter. It is a quotation in Romans 4 because it doesn't just apply to David. It applies to all of us, specifically and particularly those of us in the new covenant who have the blood of Jesus Christ to rely upon to cleanse us of sins. But we continue in verse 3. He gets very personal. He says, when I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groanings all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely a flood of great waters, they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct, I think this is God's response, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they would not come near to you. Now, David comes back. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. David switches back and forth from the very, very personal guilt that he felt to the more broad, general exhortation for all of us to come before God and to ask for mercy. It is something, once again, where we become vulnerable before God. But God will never mock us. He will never turn us down. He will never laugh at us. But he wants us to be honest in our confession to him. Another one, the 51st Psalm, is another example of this confession to David. And as we read through this, notice how many times and how many ways he says, please forgive me. Again, I have the tendency to not be as eloquent as David. I have the tendency to say, please forgive me. Well, there's more than one way to say that. And saying it in more than one way perhaps gives different nuances to the appeals that we might have to God. He says, the 51st Psalm, verse 1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter with snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from me, and blot out my... Let me say that again. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast away from your me from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Here is a man who is feeling very powerfully the guilt of his sin, and he is approaching God to say, please, please heal me. Please forgive me of this sin. We need not take the forgiveness of sins for granted. It cost God his Son to give us the blood so that we might be forgiven. For us to therefore recognize that greatness, greatness of that sacrifice, we can surely go into the presence of God and humbly and honestly and completely confess our sins before him so that he might respond. We may not, as I've said several times here, have the ability to be, I do not have the ability to be as articulate as David did in his communication with God. But the fact is, communication is something we can grow in. We can get better at it by practice. And God, in our communication with him, can help us to have a deeper and a more intimate relationship with God, a strong and an intense relationship with God. And one of the ways that we can achieve that is by learning to pray and communicate and talk unto God. I'd like to finish with a story. I perhaps have told this story before, but I'll tell it again. Two individuals had a competition of sorts of saying the 23rd Psalm. So the first man gets up and he recites the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. And it goes on, it says all the Psalm. And at the end of it, everybody says, wow, that man knows the shepherd Psalm. The second man gets up and he recites the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he goes through the whole Psalm as well. At the end of that, the people said, wow, that man knows the shepherd. As we read through these Psalms of David, it's one thing to read through and say, wow, that's a very beautiful Psalm. And it's another thing to recognize that it's really a beautiful expression of the relationship that David had with his God. And it's something that can challenge us to develop that same type of relationship. If you're not a Christian in the audience, we would encourage you to recognize the privilege of prayer is really for his children. Those are the ones that he promises to hear and respond to. And therefore, if you're not a child of God, we would encourage you to be born again into his family through the blood of Jesus Christ by being baptized in the name of Christ for the remission of your sins. If you're not a Christian, we encourage you to become one. If you are one and for some reason need to come back to him, we would encourage you to come and we'll pray for you. We'll pray with you so that your relationship might be restored. Won't you come, always stand and sing.